In the book of 1 John, chapter 1, if you would, please give ear to the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of the living God, reading 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through the first portion of chapter 2, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. I'm sorry, I was supposed to continue on to chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. In our text today, as I read in portion there, my apologies, there is a word repeated, many words repeated, but one I'll draw your attention to. Six times in six verses, John gives us the word sin. This is a passage about sin. And it is portrayed as one walking in darkness. This week I read an article reviewing many things and prepping for this and giving it some undergirding and background, etc. I read an article speaking of the perception of sin in the United States today. This particular author writes, "The United States is a religious country, and one might think that sin would be a major subject of public discussion. Yet this is not so. We may talk of morality, of being good, but being moral is generally a secular matter, not necessarily religious. This talk of morality, however, reveals a very deep, deep issue." The author continues by saying, "When an individual acknowledges his or her sins, he or she recognizes the weaknesses and begins to take responsibility. There are many aspects of the American culture that discourage us from taking responsibility. When denying responsibility, we also deny sin." The Apostle John here is writing adamantly against this notion of denying sin in any regard. Verse 10, once again, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." According to John, denying sin or denying oneself to be a sinner, John very bluntly says we're calling God a liar. Last week we addressed the foundational aspect of God's nature in the statement that God is light, that I repeated to the children. And as we dug deeper into this phrase, God is light, we at the same time understood that it also means that God is life. In the light of God's truth, we are led by the Holy Scriptures to see our need because of our sin, and therefore are led by the Holy Spirit to turn to Christ, who states that he is the light of the world, and in him we have that truth and the life. And so that's where we were taken last week. Now today, we add emphasis to that statement. Excuse me. John adds emphasis to that statement that God is light by also reading that in him, in God, is no darkness at all. So you have the one positive, God is light, and then you have it reinforced by his very strong negative that he is not in darkness at all. Now, when you dig into this a little bit in the original language here, the verb portrays that God, the subject, continuously carries out this action of being without, with no darkness. Now, you and I, who've been in church much of our lives, if not all of our lives, understand this capacity of the perfection of God. And so John making the statement, in him is no darkness at all, we receive that pretty well. There's presently and continually no darkness whatsoever in God. And this is that foundational element of all of John's writings. And so we as Christians should realize that intellectually, morally, the good, spiritually, that God is light. And there is nothing whatsoever diluted in him, in his perfection. He is that perfect life. In him, he is that perfect light. Speaking of perfection, when we say that God is light, it also draws us to think of his, as I just mentioned, his purity, his holiness. There is factually, at this very present moment, no darkness in God whatsoever. Now, again, for those of us who have been in church these many, many years, that's not too hard for us to go, okay, yeah, I got that. But then John moves a little bit further about living out that truth in our very practical, fragmented lives. John begins to speak about relationships. Clearly, there can be no higher relationship than to have a relationship through Jesus Christ with the triune God. As I said in my prayer just a few moments ago, I hope every person in this room can confess, has confessed, do confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you know that Lord, and you know that light, and you know that purity by having a relationship through Jesus Christ. But as we look deeper into our text, we begin to see some negative aspects of relationship paired with those, or compared with those, with the positive. Verse 6, 8, and 10 speak to the negative aspects of a relationship lived in sin. And we'll tear those apart in just a moment. While we are followed with verses 7 and 9 that speak to the positive aspects of sin in our lives. That almost sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Positive sin in our life. We'll get there. All right, let's look at verse 6 once more. And we're speaking about sin. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, all right, that means if we say we believe in our hearts and we promote that we have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, if we have fellowship with him, while at the same time we walk in darkness, we lie. We lie and do not practice the truth. The individual who is guilty of that statement is a very, very lost soul. This person is playing what I might call the game of being a Christian. And I would even put a little C on that Christian. But deep down does not know God whatsoever. If we say, as John starts, we have fellowship, meaning that we have fellowship with God, as I've just said, but yet we walk in darkness. John's almost becoming like Paul here. blunt to being almost offensive. He says, if you are the one who says, I have fellowship with God, but yet my life is lived out walking in darkness, you lie. And you do not practice the truth. John is blunt. Now, again, here, walking means it's a movement in a particular direction. It means lifestyle. Walking in darkness means your lifestyle is in those sinful actions. And so we could say the proof of a truthful relationship with the Father is seen by the fruits of one's lifestyle. How do you live your life? In what circles do you turn as you walk, as you live your life, as I live my life? I can see, you can see, one should be able to see the truthfulness of your fellowship in Him by the circles you turn, by who you hang out with, by the way you live your life. That's obvious. The fruits of the Spirit should be seen. Now, the opposite of that is true as well. Walking in the ways of darkness reveals that one does not know the truth. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, but if I see you professing Jesus Christ, then I see you cussing out your neighbor, I can figure that one out. John gives us here, and this is a little test for us. John gives us here a telltale sign of walking in the light of God's truth. But we're going to dip down into verse 7, and I'm going to give you a portion of verse 7 that's going to be that portion of test. We've read verse 6, now look at verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There's the test. He says, if we walk in the light, meaning we walk in the truth of God's gospel, we walk in the truth of knowing Jesus Christ, we have the life through the light of God, we walk in that light as He is in the light, and or also we have fellowship with one another, reveals that we are indeed walking, living our lives in the light of the gospel message. And again, as I said, the opposite of that is true. According to this, if one says, I have fellowship with God, but I really don't care about the relationship with the others, then that is one who walks in the darkness and does not know the truth. Folks, this underlines the necessity. I did use the word necessity. Of being a part of the local church. Being a part of the body of Christ. And let me reemphasize that by saying an active part. If we say we know God but have no relationship with the body further than walking through that door on a Sunday morning for 1 hour, we may need to check our hearts and see where we truly are. You can't have much of an intimate relationship with people if 1 hour a day you spend with them in church is all we have. John is saying our relationship proves and gives us that encouragement, that assurance that we are walking in the light because we are an active, integral part of the body of Christ. Now, truly, what these do who do such things they are doing is redefining sin. And our world is overwhelmed today with redefining sin. If we say we know God but walk in darkness, then what we've done is redefined what sin really is. If we care about what sin is at all. To live this way, which is redefining sin, and fails to be convicted by these unbiblical actions, is probably a pretty good indication that one is not walking in the light of the gospel message. And if I were to go so far as what John is given here, those may be guilty of calling God a liar. A true Christian, walking in the light of our Lord's gospel, we will find that light to be a searchlight, penetrating into the deep recesses of our hearts. How many times have I prayed, you too possibly, how many times have I prayed that we go into a prayer of confession, Holy Spirit, come in and dig into those inner parts of that heart that I unknowingly or maybe knowingly are hiding and I don't want you to have access to it. Holy Spirit, you come on in here and dig that out. Walking in the light means living daily with God, who is the light, and the closer, and see, here's the hard part maybe, and what is the reluctance by many, is the closer I get to the light, it's just like my pair of socks when I turned on the light. I could see in reality what that was. And it's the same with Jesus Christ. The closer you get to the light, the brighter that light gets, and darkness goes away. Our sin is revealed. So this is the first test of a negative relationship statement. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie. Secondly, verse 8. This one's much simpler to discuss. It's pretty straightforward. This one claims that he's not a sinner, she's not a sinner at all. And this is evidence that one is not walking in fellowship because John says simply the truth's not in you. Now, this doesn't mean that the person is lying. It means that one has not responded to the truth while confessing to the contrary. I'm a believer, but I'm not a sinner. Then you don't understand the truth. John goes on to say you're deceiving yourselves. And next week we're going to talk about a verse that's really going to put this into a quandary. Because we are sinners. But we deceive ourselves because we want to remain distant from that life. I get too close. I'd rather live in the shadows. I'd rather live in the vagueness. Don't give me the objective truth. It reminded me of a story of a friend of mine that I used to work with at Mount Holly years ago. We all were about that same time, building a house, and he would go by from time to time to inspect things. During the hanging of the drywall, he stopped by. The hanger of the drywall, standing in the light of the daylight, looked at his work and commented and said, "This looks great, doesn't it?" And Michael said, "Yeah, looks good." Well, the perfectionist that Michael was would go back at night and take not just a regular flashlight, but a huge spotlight, and he would take it and put it next to the drywall and shine it across the face of the drywall. Every imperfection showed up. The nail heads, the mud put on not evenly, the imperfections in the wall. He could see every little thing that stood out like a sore thumb. Now, the drywaller during the day didn't see a thing. But when that bright light got onto it in the darkness, you could see every single infraction. Michael made him redo it. This is an illustration of verse 8. One will not acknowledge the truth, and therefore the person will claim that he or she is not a sinner because they do not accept the light. They deceive themselves, revealing that they don't know the truth. Now, this third one that we see in verse 10, one commentator puts it, this is probably the darkest claim of any one of these negative relationships. Now, the difference between verse 8 and verse 10 is subtle, but it's very telling. So let me give you verse 10 again. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here we move from the condition of the inner sinful nature and its deceptions to the outward nature, what people see. That reveals, we move to that outward nature that reveals the symptoms of the sin, but then are rationalized or explained away by some psychological jargon. And this wordsmithing and rationalization is seeking to achieve only one thing: remove any blame from me. I have not sinned. I am not a sinner. Or I have not sinned, as the text gives us. Now, while we might expect this in our pagan secular society, this rationalization of sin goes on in the church. Example of rationalized wordsmithing, as we used to call it. A man involved in adultery, simply says he's having an affair. Notice the change in the language. Adultery is a harsh word, kind of slaps you in the face. But saying that I'm having an affair is a little more quaint and not as destructive. And so it's rationalized into, well, another example. The statement is made, we hear often, that women have a right to choose. After all, it's her body. And having an abortion comes down just to just simply exercising my right as a woman. The idea of a life never enters the conversation. We have rationalized and diminished the sin. What this reveals is that those who promote such thinking are walking in darkness and that there is no truth in them. Yes, they are guilty, but because of our psychological, our societal, our secular acceptance, we can reframe the narrative, if you will, and it doesn't seem quite so bad. Folks, it is sin. Nietzsche promoted, if God is dead, everything is permissible. In order to have any meaningful concept of sin, we must accept that objective truth exists. And that's where I started out 4 weeks ago. The word of life, the objective truth, we must know it and live by it. We can only understand, we must accept sin only on God's terms. No redefining, no rationalization, no wordsmithing. We accept sin as sin is in God's eyes, and therefore we must repent. If we think of ourselves and our sinfulness, if we think of that otherwise, John's written here twice that we make God out to be a liar. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand in front of God at Judgment Day when he looks at me and he said, son, you called me a liar. Now, enough of the hard stuff. Let's move to a little bit more positive thinking. Verse 7. Verse 7 once more, and I'll read the whole verse to you this time. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. As we walk in the light of the gospel, our sins are openly revealed. and by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. In our fellowship with the Son, He is always ready to forgive and to present you to the Father, covered under His redeeming blood. We sin because we are a sinner, and God loves you anyway. You may know some, I've heard some that said, if God knew all that I did, how can God love me doing what I've done? What that's really saying is, as we said here, you really don't understand who God is. Verse 9, more positive thinking, more positive teaching. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, almost the same thing. If we, now don't take it as a conditional. He's simply saying when you confess, He forgives. This is a wonderful passage to close out our discussion. The answer to denial of sin is confession. Yes, Lord, I am who You say I am. I am the vilest of sinner. You are the great, majestic, pure God. I know You will forgive me. Here I am. Confession portrays that I know what sin is and that I am guilty and that I have a loving Father ready and able to forgive to the furthermost because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. Done deal. John goes on here and says that our God is just, that He is faithful, that He forgives and cleanses from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. He will always remember His covenant. He is just because He said it to be true. It is true, and He will always live and hold you to that truth. But I hope everyone in this room knows that we deserve God's judgment. When talking about election and predestination, et cetera, some would ask, why would God choose some and not others? That's not the real question. Why would God choose any? Why should God choose any of us? Of us? Because we're all sinners. But see, this is not what we get. This is not what God does. God has said, I love you. That cross proved it. The Holy Spirit has imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ into our souls. And now we can stand. I can stand. And folks, this means incredible to me. I hope it does you. I can stand before the Father, knowing that I am a vile sinner, but yet stand there upright saying, I stand here in Jesus' name, and I know You love me, Father. As redeemed children, receiving the mercy of our Father, let us be quick to forget, to confess. Let us be quick to repent. Let us be quick to say, Father, I know who I am, because in Your word says I am a sinner. I believe that. But I also believe that You love me. And that'll get me through the day. Yeah, it'll do more than that. That'll get me through eternity. Let us not walk in the dark ways of this world. Our world is filled with them, with it. But let us walk gloriously in the light of the gospel message every day, every part of our lives. Amen. Amen.